This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer. All right, I'm sitting here with my friend, Mr. Mark Hamza. He's the Chief Marketing Officer, or CMO, and co-founder of a new company you may not have heard of yet, but you soon will. It's called Flixel, and they are kind of redefining, or maybe even popularizing, or maybe even recreating a new genre of photography called the living portrait or animated portraits. You may have seen some of the work online already. It's the idea of taking a really high quality photo and then adding just a splash of motion to it to kind of give it that pop and that, oh, what the heck's going on there? So Mark agreed to come on and chat about some things that they're working on and maybe give us some history of the company and all that sort of thing. And, you know, plus we're going to be meeting up at WPPI next month to review some other cool things that they have going on. So Mark, welcome to the show.
Frederick, thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise. Okay, let's kick this off. So you're the Chief Marketing Officer. You look awfully young to be a Chief Marketing Officer, by the way. Yeah, Chief Marketing Officers are supposed to be like jaded, you know, like suits that don't fit. You are like high fashion, put together, young dude. What's going on? How does that happen?
You know, we all hold many titles at Flixel. All the co-founders of, you know, startup life, hashtag startup life. That's sort of what it is. So
But
I basically overlook some of the marketing initiatives, and I've been privileged to also produce a lot of cinematograph shoots, and look over just overall communications, that kind of a thing. So yeah, it's been really exciting.
Love it, great. And you're doing a fantastic job. I mean, the site looks amazing. The communications that I've seen so far look amazing. And you guys are at all the shows that I've been to. So you're doing the right things, it seems like, to reach the right audiences. So you mentioned cinematograph, right? So many people may have heard of the cinematograph or animation. Talk about that a little bit, just to set the stage, because we've seen animated GIFs. You know, Google is doing the Auto Awesome thing where they take multiple images and make an animated GIF and kind of introduce a little bit of motion to it. You guys are doing something different. Kind of set the stage and define what this genre is.
Totally. So cinematographs, the medium itself kind of started in 2011. Two New York photographers, Jamie Beck and Kevin Berg. Well, actually, Jamie is a photographer and Kevin is a digital artist. They sort of coined a term, a cinematograph, so meaning, you know, cinematic photographs or images that seamlessly combine the effects of video capture and still photography. So they kind of started, you know, pushing this new medium in 2011, and it was introduced during New York's Fashion Week. And very much embraced by that particular industry. So that's where we sort of caught light of it, and we're like, wow, this is just a really interesting new take on not just photography, but, you know, we were also looking at how he was bringing a sort of a new creative dimension also to digital advertising. So that's where we said, hey, this becomes really, really fun and exciting, you know, a new means of communication, a new visual medium, basically a new way to tell a story. So we said, hey, why don't we get on this and create a technology, a platform that can, you know, facilitate the creation of these so-called cinematograph images, or as we refer to them as living photos.
Yeah, and it's great, and I'll show some of these in the interview as we're talking through this, but the you know, it's interesting that where technology or hardware technology and software and sort of the, you know, the zeitgeist of what photographers are wanting, how they intersect, and then, you know, we get tools like this. And what I mean is, you know, the newer cameras that the mirrorless cameras and DSLRs started shooting videos several years ago, and now photographers have this capability to do video, but a lot of them are thinking like, well, okay, what do I do? I'm not a videographer. I'm not, you know, I don't want to get into all that. This is a way for them to kind of, you know, go down the path of least resistance to doing something that's really cool and really professional. Did you guys feel that as well, that this is kind of a point of inflection or the nexus where things were coming together?
I think so. I think, you know, as you know, there's a whole paradigm shift that's occurring within the photography industry with video, you know, capture capability is going up to 4K. Mm-hmm. So from a capture standpoint, the quality is now really present and available. And I think also from a kind of a distribution display standpoint, if you look at, you know, digital screens, or, you know, we're also talking 4K resolution. And so I think right now from an, you know, this art form really lends itself very well for, you know, online applications, but also I think offline, we have now the technology to really, you know, do justice to this new medium. So I think we're at a point where this new media type really has a chance to shine.
Yeah. Now, photographers, a lot of traditional photographers, you know, and I would put myself kind of in the middle, traditional and progressive, right?
Right.
So a lot of traditional photographers might say, okay, this is great, but I can only display these on a computer. So what good is it to me? Right. So, you know, in other words, the traditional photographers, it's all about the prints, making large prints that go on the wall. That is real photography.
Right.
We're talking exclusively digital here. So talk to me about the whole, you know, developing or shooting for the screen.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, when we first got into this, we identified a couple of pain points. And, you know, number one, when we looked at this medium, we looked at cinemagraphs, you know, the first issue was there's a lack of sophistication in the software, meaning it's either very complex to create these images, or there was really no software specifically designed for the creation of this kind of media type. And the other big problem, as you just discussed, was, you know, what does the output format look like? And, you know, until very recently, we always had to focus on outputting as a GIF. And the reason for that is because of its universal application across all browsers and mobile, etc. And obviously the problem with a GIF is that you're limited within the screen. You can't go into digital displays, you can't go offline, because as we know, with low frame rate and low color resolution, they just don't look very appealing. So then, you know, so on the one hand, you had brands that really were, you know, really enjoying the GIF, and it's fun, and it's, but, you know, it also has this kind of a gimmicky connotation to it, and a GIF is a very, very large term. A cinemagraph really is the idea that you have a still photograph with a hint of motion that's incorporated, and it's almost like as much as it's rooted in GIF culture, it's a very highly stylized a GIF. So from that perspective, our idea was to, you know, offer solutions for those two pain points. On the one hand, I think we've facilitated, you know, the ease of use and the creation process, really cutting it down significantly, making it really easy. And from an output standpoint, what we offer is high definition output. So with our new technology, you can basically render a, you know, a high definition or ultra HD 4K for that matter, if you're shooting 4K video, and render that on your screen and use that in presentations and your PowerPoints. You can display that on you know, on digital displays and screens. And online, we actually offer Flixel has what we call a universal web player, which basically enables you to embed your living photo into a blog or into a website, and the image autoplays off auto loops in high definition. So,
that's an interesting point there. I want to have you elaborate on that, because that was kind of a point of, you know, okay, I get it, or an epiphany moment for me when you explained to me the, you know, that you could embed these in your page. I was like, okay, why would I want to embed yours when I can just create? I can use the software, create my video, and then upload it to YouTube and embed that, or put it on Vimeo or Wistia or whatever, and have at it. Why would I want to introduce another architecture into my workflow? And then you explained why, which I'd like you to explain to people as well, because it's a different kind of art form. So could you explain that a little deeper?
Absolutely. So, you know, the web is, you know, there's sort of a browser war where when you upload a video into, whether it's, you know, whether you're using Chrome or Explorer or whatever, you know, in certain cases, the video will play or will auto loop, in certain cases it won't. So what we decided to do is across the board offer a solution where when you do decide to embed a living photograph, it will automatically auto play an auto loop, meaning there's no thumbnail, there's no play button, so there's not that kind of barrier to entry, so to speak, and you get that, you know, sort of instant gratification, immediate result. And so our technology enables to do that across all browsers, mm-hmm. Regardless of which one you use, and also optimizes the output on mobile. So that becomes really, really interesting, because at the end of the day, I think if you know, if you're a professional photographer or, you know, an enthusiast or even a weekend warrior that really takes this craft seriously, I think you want to offer the highest quality output possible. And like I mentioned, until recently, you really had to resort to using the GIF right. as your default format. And in talking to a lot of professionals, including yourself, it's like, well, you know, you're going to shoot 1080, you're going to shoot with a great DSLR camera, capture beautiful video. And then it's just, you got to resort to, you know, 10 frames per second. And it's right. just,
right.
It can be a little disappointing, at least in my point of view. So with our solution, what we refer to as our, you know, Flixel web player, which is basically an iframe link, very much like YouTube. It's a similar philosophy where, you know, we host it, so we control the quality, and you can just grab that link, embed into your blog or website, and, you know, the image looks beautiful, and you can adjust the aspect ratio and the size, and you're good to go. And then from there, you have all the sharing capabilities to different social networks and et cetera. So for us, it was really about, you know, increasing the quality and quality control at the end of the day, offering an output that was satisfying to users that would reflect their ability to light properly, their ability to capture and have that reflected in that output appropriately.
I love it. And then is there a fee associated with using the website and using that architecture that you guys have built?
No, and not as of now. You can definitely, right now it's all available. The iframe is there. You can dump it in and embed and no issues. Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. I need to have you clear up one thing. I was taking notes as you were talking. So how do we refer to these images? What's the official? So you're the chief marketing officer of Flixel, so your word is law, right? So how do we refer to these images? I've heard them referred to as Flixels, living portraits, animated portraits, cinemagraphs, and hybrid images. What's the best way to, like, what's the one word we should be using?
That's a lot of names. That's a lot of
or
names.
Or animated GIF. I didn't put animated GIF in there because, you know, we're beyond that. But
thank you. Well, you know, we like to refer to them as Flixels. And when people say, well, what is a Flixel? We say, well, Flixel is a living photograph. Now, okay. I know that could be perceived a little bit as an, you know, esoteric term. Like, what does that mean? The official terminology and the medium was coined by Beckenberg. So, you know, they are cinemagraphs, cinematic photographs, and we like to respect that. And I guess the way we describe a cinemagraph, and actually I was reading a really cool interview by Beckenberg recently with Time Lightbox. They were actually asked a question like, well, how do you describe a cinemagraph? What is that? And they're like, it's not quite a photo, it's not quite a video. And I believe it's Kevin who said it's a living photograph. Yeah. So very much in line with sort of how we've tagged and how we've described it. And
That's great. Yeah, and I know Giulio Sciorio talks about it as well, and he and I were battling back and forth, not battling, but kind of discussing how to describe these things, and the phrase animated portrait popped out because he does a lot of portraiture and people like that, so it made sense for that particular vertical. But if you're shooting a car and adding an animated highlight to it, it's not really a portrait at that point. So, yeah, cinematograph fits.
Absolutely. I don't think we want to limit it to any particular style of capture or photography, you know, as you just mentioned. So I think cinemagraphs, or in that case, you know, living photos or living photographs, it just gives it more of a larger sense and encompasses all sorts of, you know, creative possibilities in that sense.
All right, Mark. So I got to play devil's advocate here. So some photographers may say, okay, maybe is this a cure in search of a disease, right? Because we have
we're all sick, Frederick.
We're all sick.
Don't get me started on that.
Zombie apocalypse coming. Okay, so we have tools that have been around for ages, like After Effects and Photoshop. Yeah. Now does video, yeah. Right? So we have all these high-powered tools that we can move mountains with if we put enough, you know, mind power behind it, right? So why would someone want to invest in learning a new tool like Cinemagraph or, you know, the software that you guys are putting together?
That's a very good question.
And there's a long pause. He's like, I know you have like a million answers. He's like, okay, where should I start?
Let me look at my arsenal of responses. And carefully craft one on the spot. No, I mean, that's a good question. I think depending on the project, you're always going to look at which tools you're going to use that are going to best suit your end result, right? It's like when people ask me, you know, are you guys going to have, you know, Cinemagraphs? Should Cinemagraphs be applied to absolutely everything? I'm like, well, of course not. I think depending on the project, depending on the story you're trying to tell, there's, you know, you want to choose your medium carefully. So in that case, it can be sometimes a still, sometimes you want to shoot video, and sometimes a Cinemagraph is the perfect way to really tell the story that you're, you're in, the point you're trying to convey, you know, highlighting that focal point in the image, giving that little extra, some that mesmerizing component, etc.
Yeah.
So in regards to the tools, I think it's a similar approach. Now, one thing that we've done is we feel that, you know, one can use Flixel's, what we're introducing and we're launching is Flixel Cinemagraph Pro for the Mac, which is a professional tool and really the kind of the only really the design tool, specifically designed tool for the creation of this sort of media. And in that sense, I feel that it can be used in conjunction with certain software. So obviously, we're not trying to change the game of, retouching or skin correction. That's not our thing. Or, you know, applying color treatments to video. What we're really focusing on is facilitating and making sure that the creation process for the animation component is extremely intuitive, is fluid, and it's fast.
Yeah.
Because in our analysis, when we were working, I mean, I've had the chance to obviously work with a lot of great editors, and when we work on many projects, which was, you know, with America's Next Top Model, or we did major productions for the estate of Marilyn Monroe, Macy's, Canada's National Arts Centre, etc. And when we did toy with other softwares, we were like, my God, it is extremely time consuming, extremely costly as a result on a post production side of things. So if you are a content creator who wants to cut down your post-production, and you don't have, let's say, the means to outsource to a full-on post-production team, Flixel becomes such a powerful tool, because from the animation standpoint, you can literally create your animation in a matter of a couple of minutes. It's there. So again, we're not trying to reinvent the game of, we're not trying to compete with Photoshop or in that sense, but in creating that living image, embedding that motion, with Flixel's live masking technology, we just cut down the post-production process significantly. Again, I was reading Beckenberg's interview, because again, they were the inspiration for our company, and we have a lot of respect for their work, and we probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And they were saying how it takes them on average 2 days to create a basic Cinemagraph, and if they're going to have motion incorporated, so body motions, for example, if I'm shooting a model and I want to just animate the hair flowing, for example, so it's a spot on motion on the body, that can take sometimes up to a week, if not more, because if there's some motion, then we get into like rotoscoping, all that kind of stuff. So even if you focus on external motion, you're talking 2 days. We
and
can
that's,
do that.
And that's if you're fluent in the software, right?
And that's if you're,
yeah,
well, that,
you
well, that's
know how
way
to use it.
Absolutely. So you have to look at who your target audience is. You know, for us, it's a prosumer market. So, our the target audience that we're trying to reach is obviously people that don't have necessarily the means for, like I said, a full production team or full production setup. And in this case, it really cuts down, the learning curve, and really gets you to the core of what Flixel is. I need to create an animation. I drop my video in. Created, exported. I can even export my still frame. I can do my retouching other software. So it could be used as a standalone piece. Everything could be done within, or you can use it in conjunction with other softwares to get to your end result as quickly as possible. So every software has its strength, and you know, with Flixel, it's all about the ability to live mask and preview your end result in a matter of a few seconds. And I think that's what's very, very powerful. And every time we do a demonstration live, people are just, they're kind of blown away, because, you and I know we understand what it means to, bring in your video, overlay the still frames, render, then you apply your mask. You don't see it in real time. Did you make a few mistakes? You got to go back after you render. It's just, it was so unintuitive when we were doing it. And again, a lot of respect to Beckenberg, would take the time and they look, their results are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I've been just trying to, we were just trying to kind of keep up with their brilliance, but
right.
But from a time consumption, it's how do you expect your wedding photographer or your weekend warrior and enthusiast to say, yeah, sure, I love this art form, but it just takes too much time. And then if and then from a business perspective, you know, from an income opportunity, you know, we were also getting a lot of feedback where photographers were like, well, it's going to take me so many hours to do one. Unless I am Beckenberg, I'm in that 1% where I work with, you know, major fashion brands or, you know, entertainment franchises like we've had the opportunity to work with. This doesn't really much make much sense from a business perspective.
Yeah, because the time expenditure versus what you're charging for the final product, you know, you're basically paying the client to let you do it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're basically paying to play, and that's just not good business. So I think with Flixel, from a business perspective, you know, cutting down that learning curve and offering a tool that's, you know, hyper specialized, you know, and specifically designed for this medium, I think that really makes it now really interesting from a new revenue stream, a new service offering that photographers and videographers alike can offer to their clientele. I mean, think weddings. How beautiful it would be to see veils flow, hair, subtleties, earrings, jewelry, and even stuff with the environment, the grooms, et cetera, all that. I mean, there's so many creative possibilities. Now you can offer that to your clientele and you know, actually turn a profit versus spending 15 hours and creating one image. So,
yeah. Now, Mark, talk to me a little bit about the evolution of the software, because when I was first introduced to it, it was iOS only, right?
And that is true.
And another piece, while you're addressing that lineup, address the sort of the stigma that's associated with apps that show up iOS only, being, you know, if it's on iOS or if it's not on a proper quote computer, then it's not going to be able to create professional results. You're going to be creating Instagram type filters, that sort of thing. That wasn't your goal at the outset, right? So can you address that a little bit?
Well, absolutely. So, you know, when we first started, we released our application or software on mobile. So we were a mobile-oriented tool. And, you know, with that, there comes a certain stigma being just, you know, on iOS. You know, we were initially, well, and to be fair, initially our goal was to sort of potentially be the next evolution of Instagram. You know, at the time when we launched Instagram, actually the timing was interesting, had just been purchased by Facebook. So, you know, the way we positioned it, our messaging at the time in order to get a lot of traction was, you know, Flixel, is it the next Instagram? Is it the next evolution to, you know, static images? Could this be a subset feature to that platform or et cetera? So that's sort of how we, you know, we began, and that was the dream. This could maybe become a social network on its own, and we soon realized that was not the idea, that was not the intent. You know, Instagram is about outputting quick data. You know, shoot, filter, done, and it's about telling us, you know, it's a visual representation of your status update in Facebook.
Yeah,
life moments. Let me take a picture, and you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. So there you go. And we realized with Flixel, it's more of an art project. People want to take the time and then realize who our true user base was, which was really more artists and artists that really take their craft very, very seriously. Not to say that those people don't exist on Instagram. They do. But so from there, we said, you know what, to be taken a little more seriously by the photography and imaging community, we have to get out of mobile. And also within mobile, and you know, after the initial iPhone app, we then introduced an iPad application, which was, you know, obviously gives you more real estate to edit and all that kind of stuff, but you still have limitations from a file size perspective and all that kind of stuff. And again, it, the perception of, you know, are you a tool or are you more of a toy? And so we really wanted to dispel that, because we felt, you know, our live masking technology is so powerful. This ability to preview and embed your emotion in real time is so powerful that we don't want to just be considered a toy and dismissed. So we said, you know what, it's time to really go pro. And bring this to the desktop. So, and that's where we're introducing this week, Flixel Cinemagraph Pro for Mac. Awesome. And we're really excited about that. So, you know, again, like I mentioned, you can it supports, you know, HD files, ultra HD, 4K, has, and really it's a much more detailed extension, of the iOS features. So you have, a choice of more filters, more refined masking tools, basically more power, more control to achieve a professional grade cinemagraph image. Professional quality is the idea.
That's great. It kind of, the The lineup kind of reminds me a little bit of the like iMovie on iOS has a limited feature set, but you can still create some really cool things that people wouldn't believe came from a tablet or a phone. And then there's the desktop version, which takes that same UI and feature set and pushes it forward and gives you more control over transitions and themes and blah, 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 and all that stuff. Is it you're kind of looking in that direction?
You know what, we're sort of, and you know, another great way of saying it would be sort of to compare it to like what GarageBand is for musicians. I know a lot of great musicians who use GarageBand to create, you know, basic, you know, their basic vocal tracks or whatever it is. And it's easy, it's intuitive, it's to the point. And you're not intimidated on the onset by, you know, an extensive amount of compressors and tools and this, where you're like, again, After Effects is fantastic, but it's not specifically designed to do living photos. So when you open it up, you're like, my God, where do I begin?
Right.
The learning curve right then and there is so daunting that most will say, it's too lengthy. And I think the workflow from an editing perspective is just not as intuitive.
Right.
You know, it's just not
It's a tool that's built to do anything you could possibly dream up. Right?
Exactly.
Whether it's correct. Flying text in or tracking motion on a car or wrote all that stuff. So whatever you can throw at it, if you have the skills, you can do it. The way that I see Cinemagraph and Cinemagraph Pro is it's like a magnifying glass trying to burn a hole in a piece of paper outside, right? So you're focusing on one thing and burning it so that you can make it really easy for photographers, right?
Frederick, if for a job, you know, all you need is a screwdriver, why bring your toolbox?
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, why bring all that heavy baggage and when all you need is one specific tool? Come prepared, you know what you need, get the job done.
Yeah.
So that's sort of
Don't bring a nuclear weapon to a knife fight, right?
Although a nuclear weapon is pretty awesome. I mean, you'll intimidate your rivals with that. But
if you really want to get the job done, bring that. But if
you don't want to play fair,
you would be efficient. You
know? Yeah. And then you'll
I love it. Okay, so let's wrap this up. So you guys, as we record this in mid-February here, you guys are heading next month in March to WPPI. What's going on there for you?
We're going to have our own setup. We're going to have our own little booth. We'll be doing a few seminars talking about, you know, living photography and how Cinemagraph Pro for Mac is a great intuitive creation tool for fast results. And we're going to be talking about the medium, and we're going to be introducing Cinemagraph Pro for Mac to, you know, a wide audience of portrait and wedding photographers. So we're very excited. You should come check us out. We'll be speaking throughout the week.
Awesome. Yeah. And I want to invite you to come on. I'll be speaking in the Panasonic booth. So I want to invite you to come on there and demo this potentially to the audience live on stage. Are you up for that?
We'd love to. We love demoing.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. Like, we love the demo, the art of the demo.
We love the demo. Absolutely.
Cool, Mark. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time today to do this. Where should folks go to download the software, and when's the desktop version going to be ready to grab and all that good stuff and pricing? Give me all the marketing piece of it.
So Cinemagraph Pro for Mac will be available next Tuesday.
What date?
What date is that? That will be Tuesday the 25th.
Okay,
of February. It will be 2014. It will be available. So it will be available for download on Flixel.com. Okay. You can also get it on the Mac App Stores if you so choose to. And you can download a trial if you wish. And then you can purchase it for $199.99. And if you're at WPPI, we might be giving you some special deals as well.
Very cool.
So definitely come check out our seminars, and we'll be giving you some special offers during that period of time.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And what's the iOS version? What's the price of that?
So the iOS, we have Cinemagraph, Flixel Cinemagraph, which is free.
Okay.
So download for free, check out all the different galleries and the feeds, etc. Yeah. And then we have Cinemagraph Pro, which right now is $9.99 for iOS, so iPhone and iPad.
Wonderful. Cool. Perfect. Great interview, Mark. Thank you for doing this. It's been educational. I've been playing with the software for about a month or so now, and you know, I'm a fan.
Are you digging it or what?
I am. I'm digging it. I think it's like I said, it for me, it's a new genre. It, you know, it's a reinvention of a genre of photography. Like you say, there was the GIF, and people kind of have their minds and even stigmas around what an animated GIF is.
Right.
When you see these things, and I would encourage the audience to go check out Flixel.com just to look at some of these things. And you guys are affiliated with Tyra Banks and America's Next Top Model. Correct. And look at some of the portraits that those that the photographer's done and put up there. Then you kind of get it. You're like, oh, okay, that's just not animated. That's something brand new. And then your mind starts spinning about, man, I could take a picture of my house and just have the trees blowing in the front yard. You know, those totally. Kind of things.
Like we mentioned before, I think it's a new way to tell a story. Yeah. And I think it's an effective way to tell a story. And when it's applicable, I think it's very powerful. And I think because this art form is still very much in its infancy, I think there's still so much to explore, so many creative possibilities. And already, we're blown away when we look at our community and what the artists and content creators propose. We're always like, oh wow, that's amazing. That's brilliant. So I think as the art form continues to establish itself and become a standard within the photography industry and hopefully in advertising and I think we're really at the tip of the iceberg in terms of creative potential. So we're excited to see where this takes us.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again, and I guess I'll see you in Las Vegas.
See you in Vegas, Frederick. It'll be fun. Thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure, as always.
You're welcome. Okay, I'll talk to you soon, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.